Good evening. Glad to see everyone back on this beautiful Lord's Day. If we have any guests, glad to have you as well. People can be stubborn and people can refuse help. We have that right. There's often a stigma around men saying men never ask for help. Well, that's not always true. As a kid, I grew up being taught men don't cry, men don't ask for help, which was a bunch of baloney. Because as we see, our perfect Savior was weak in moments, cried, wept, and Jesus himself would ask for help from the Father, would go to the Father in times of need. There are times people do struggle silently because they are afraid to admit they need help. Some think asking for help is weakness. Others fear being judged. Others believe they should be able to handle everything on their own. But here is what Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 teaches us. It's different. We need help. We need our brothers and sisters. We need the church for help. We need God for help. We need his help every day. One thing that we notice is that God never tells his people to hide their weaknesses. He tells them to come near. We need God. We need Christ. We need Scripture. We need prayer. And we need the church. And so it is okay to ask for help. And so we can ask for help because Jesus is the great high priest. In verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us take hold of our confession." The writer of Hebrews reminds Christians that we have a great high priest. Before, under the old, they had Aaron, who was the first high priest. Well, guess what? Aaron was human. Aaron made mistakes. But our high priest was great, was perfect in every single way. He is the greatest. He is greater than any other earthly high priest. He has passed through the heavens, and he's not merely serving an earthly tabernacle. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And this means that we don't come to God alone. We come through Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior, our perfect high priest. Sometimes people will say, "I need to get my life together before I come back to God." That's backwards. Guess what? You're not going to get your life back together on your own. You can't. That's why we need Christ every single day. We cannot get out of sin. We cannot alone break those chains that bind us, that hold us down. Christ came for a reason, to free us from the bondage of sin. And so we come to God because we need his help getting our lives right, getting our lives back together. And so, secondly, we can ask for help because Jesus understands our weakness. You know, I may not understand your struggles. You may not understand my struggles. But guess who does? Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin." This verse is deeply comforting because he knows our suffering. He knows about temptation. He knows what it is like. But he never surrendered to it. We, when we are enticed by our own desires, give in to sin. We're not perfect. We never will be. We should strive for that perfection. But Jesus was perfect in every single way. He understands suffering, but he never became unfaithful. We look in places like Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So we see here, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And we see he's tempted with turning stone into bread. He overcomes it with quoting scripture. And then second, he is tempted with casting himself off the temple. Once again, quoting scripture, overcoming. And then the final temptation was, I'll give you every kingdom of the world. Once again, overcoming temptation with scripture. And so temptation is nothing new. Our high priest understands it. He understands the suffering that comes along with it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. God never once promised that we wouldn't be tempted. No, absolutely not. We know God doesn't tempt. He does test. We know we will be tested. We know that we will be tempted by Satan. It's a part of life. Suffering is a part of life. But here, he promises a way of escape. But it's up to us to desire to escape the sin, the temptation we are facing. We can't let the desires of the flesh pull us in and put us in chains once again. Desire is the game that we need to play. We need to desire God more than that temptation. And so, Jesus, as well, understands sorrow. John chapter 11, verse 35, the shortest text in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. We see Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and wept. He understood grief. Therefore, when we are hurting, it's okay to ask for help, to go to God for help. And guess what? He'll be there for us. Absolutely. He has promised never to forsake us, never to leave us. He's always there with us. Jesus also understands rejection. John chapter 1, verse 11, he came to what was his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. His very own people were the ones shouting, crucify him, crucify him. They were the same people that put him to death, that demanded Pilate to put him to death. Can you imagine how that felt? I'm sure we have had sorrows. I'm sure we've been rejected. Christ knows how that feels. That's what makes him the perfect high priest. Third, we can ask for help because God invites us to draw near to him. In verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is not a reluctant invitation. God commends and invites his people to draw near. We see here the throne of God is described as the throne of grace. When we pray, when we bow our heads, we are approaching that throne of grace. We are drawing near to him. And guess what? God listens. God hears. He heard his people in Egypt. He heard his people in Egypt crying out in agony and pain and suffering and sorrow. What did he do? He delivered his people. He knew what the world was suffering from. What sickness it was. The sickness is still going on. Sin, what did he do? He sent his only son, Christ, to come and rescue us, to provide us a way to escape out of condemnation and to have salvation, to have eternal life one day. But with prayer, it's not a last resort. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You know, sometimes, and I've heard people say this, all we can do now is pray. You know what that sounds like when we say that? All we can do now is pray. We're treating it like it's the last resort, like it's the last thing we can do. Prayer should not be treated like the last thing we try after everything else has failed. We should always be in prayer in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of suffering, or if someone else, a brother and sister in Christ, is suffering, we should always pray. That should be our first go-to, is to pray for them, to go to the Father. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. I think we so often overlook that text. Be amazed at what happens when you get the church together to pray. God gives mercy and grace. We see in verse 16, once again, in the second half, at the end of verse 16, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy is God's compassion toward us in our weakness and sin. Grace is God's favor and help that we do not deserve. What a wonderful God we do have, because He has shown and has given us His grace and has shown mercy to allow us, His people, to approach His throne in times of need, in times that we need help, in times of weakness. You know, when you try to do things on your own, it doesn't succeed. It won't work. I've tried it. I'm sure you have too. When temptation comes, you're not going to survive on your own. You're going to need help. And that help is only found in Christ. We can ask for help because Christians are to help one another. Not only do we have God in our corner, but now we have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have that spiritual family that we can go to. I have brothers who are preachers that I go to when I need help. I go to them when I need spiritual advice. And there are other brothers and sisters that I go to. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with if you're more comfortable with talking to this individual, this brother and sister, there's nothing wrong with just going to them and asking for help, there's nothing wrong with that. But understand, you have plenty of brothers and sisters who would be willing to help you in any way. The church is not a place where everyone pretends to be strong. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each of you looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Here this passage teaches two important truths. Christians may fall into sin and need restoration. And secondly, faithful Christians must help bear those burdens. Yes, God is there. God is always there and here and everywhere. And yes, when we approach Him in prayer, He will help. He will guide. He will help us through our struggles, or He will help us get through it. He doesn't always take it away. But we also have brothers and sisters in Christ for a reason. Others who will help us. When we look at Paul in his times of need, when he's imprisoned, who did he reach out to? He reached out to his brothers and sisters. He reached out to the church. And guess what they did? They provided all that he needed. Whether it be prayer or things that he needed, whether it be checkups. You know, Luke would have been with him. He was a physician. He would have looked after Paul and his wounds. They would have provided food and all those necessities as a human. Same thing the church is to do today. Asking for help is not shameful. Once again, swallow your pride and ask for help. Don't try to do it on your own. You're just going to make a bigger mess. It happens. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Once again, don't be shameful. Ask for the help. This does not mean that every sin must be publicly announced before the whole congregation. Now, if you feel like you need to come forward and publicly announce sin that you're struggling with, that's fine. But not every sin needs to be publicly announced before the church. So we need to make sure that's clear. Now, if the sin is known publicly by the church, by others, then yes, you need to confess. You need to repent of that sin publicly. It does not mean Christians should be humble enough to seek prayer, encouragement, and accountability when needed. It does mean. But helping others must be done with gentleness. And this is a big point right here, because sometimes people come across as harsh. And that's not how we are called to restore, because once again, Galatians 6:1, brothers, even if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is, Christ. Truth without love can become cruelty, and love without truth can become compromise. Christ always had the perfect balance, truth with love. And so did the apostles. Truth with love. And so, we must ask for the right kind of help. One thing we need to realize, especially for the younger men and women, the younger brothers and sisters in Christ, not all advice is godly advice. It's not. In Psalm 1, verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk with the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Christians must seek counsel that agrees with Scripture. There's a minister up in Fairmont, and he grew up there in West Virginia. And he is a part-time bivocational minister, but he has his own, I guess you would call it a clinic. But he is a therapist. He has a degree. It's what he does professionally. And most of his clients are Christians from the church. And then he also has other. But once again, they go to him because not only will he give advice, he gives godly advice. He always helps those in need. Ask God for wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. When we don't know what to do, we should ask God for wisdom and search his word. Once again, don't go seeking after ungodly advice, or don't go seeking human wisdom. Ask God for wisdom and search his word. You will find all the godly wisdom you can see and hear from his truth. Ask faithful Christians for spiritual encouragement. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Once again, sin is deceitful, and it hardens the heart. This is why we need encouragement from faithful brethren. Now, I've been in some congregations that are cold. And boy, let me tell you, that's never any good. That's a congregation that needs to get its priorities straight. But I've been in some congregations that are warm. Everybody encourages everybody. Everybody loves everybody. Everybody stands on truth. They're the same mind, same judgment. You see that unity. Ask your brethren for help. Ask the church for prayer. Ask them for encouragement if you need it. Ask for help before the burden becomes heavier. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. People wait too long. They wait too long to ask for help. And guess what that does? You make a mess of things. You allow sin to harden your heart. You go astray. It happens every day. It happens all the time. Brothers and sisters go astray without asking for help. They have this attitude, this mindset of, I can do it on my own. That can get you into a lot of trouble. More importantly, it can cost you your soul. There's a reason why some of the most dangerous jobs in the world, you have multiple, possibly 100 or so men or women who work together, because if you're just by yourself trying to do this dangerous job, you're going to fail and most likely kill yourself because of how dangerous the job is. When you look in the military, they're all together. They're one unit. They all support one another, and they go in together. When you look, one of my favorite shows, Deadliest Catch, there's a reason why the boat has a crew. Once again, it's not an easy job. It's a dangerous job. One goes overboard, and it's only you. What happens? Death. It's good to have people looking out for you. It's good to have people praying for you and encouraging you and being there when you need them. And so, what is the greatest help that we need? We need salvation. Guess what? You can't earn it on your own. The only way to get the help that you need to be freed from sin is to go through Jesus Christ. And so this evening, if you need help getting out of sin, we can't help you. We can't help you break those chains. We can't. We can help encourage you. We can guide you to the very book that shows you how you are to be saved, who you need to go to. And so if you're here this evening, you need help getting out of sin, and you want to change your life, well, this is how you do it. First, you must hear the word and believe the word that has been preached to you this evening. But then you must repent of your sins, which means change. You're changing your mind, your heart, and you're turning back to God. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. Not to be ashamed of him, to confess him before all men. But then you must be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. When you are being put to death like Christ, buried in that water, your old self is being put to death, and the blood of Christ washes over you. And when you raise out of that water, you're walking in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. Or if you were a Christian and you are struggling to break free from sin, I pray that tonight that you come forward and allow the church to help you. Allow us to help you, pray for you, encourage you, build you up. Come and repent and be restored. Be reconciled to God. Or if you just need prayer, you just need some encouragement, come forward and allow us to help you this evening. So if you're here and you need any assistance, if you need anything, come as we stand and as we sing.